welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the quick, fast, goofy, self-improvement podcast of awesome with a brand new intro.
I can't believe we have to redo the intro.
We lost our intro because we're not tech savvy here,
Dude, we're cool. We did like that 14 years ago.
I know.
I don't even remember what the podcast is about
at this point. Anyways. Dogs Are Smarter Than People is the podcast that helps you live a happier, quirkier life. I'm Carrie Jones, a New York Times and internationally best-selling novelist, and the guy with me is actually married to me.
For how long, we don't know.
But not much longer.
It's been a good run.
But this is my co-host, Sean Farrar. Join us as we start off with a random thought about the weirdness of life, and then we segue beautifully and smoothly into...
Dog advice? Dog tips?
Life advice. You've got this. You've got it too. Hey, it's random thought time. Shani's so excited he's clapping.
I was clapping just a little bit there.
In the random?
It was a golf clap.
Golf clap. He's so pretentious.
I know, I've never played golf. Not real
mini golf.
I play putt-putt, and I play what was it, par three? Have you ever played par three?
No.
It's like a real golf course that's shrunk, so each hole is a par three. Like if you can't make it three shots or less, you're not done. You just have a bad score. Like,
oh, that's my kind of golf, man.
To get the mid score, you'd have to be three and under. At Okay, enough of that.
Random golf. Carrie learns golf.
Not for me, no.
I used to be a sports reporter. It's hard to remember any of that now. I wish I could play golf, though.
I'd be a great professional golf player.
Well, why don't you start playing
golf? No, I don't mean that I have any golf skill, but I'd be like I'd be the antithesis. I'd be like here holding my Bud Light to my caddy.
I kind of want you to play golf now. Just for like that.
What was that? Oh, never mind.
Too much golf talk
here. I don't know.
You wouldn't be classy, is what you're saying.
I'd be like Caddyshack golf.
Yeah.
You ever see Caddyshack?
Rodney Dangerfield.
There was a bunch of comedians in Caddyshack.
All right, anyways, our dog's barking. This has just gone on too long. And what we're supposed to be talking about right now
is... Keep talking, baby.
I can't keep talking if you leave the podcast studio.
I'm back in the podcast.
He's back.
The dog can't read the on-air light. I'm sorry. She's barking at her other dog.
Oh, nosies. Welcome to our world. Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the most professional podcast podcasting.
Are we out of that ketamine we were using on her?
No. We're not. Anyways, we gotta stop. She's gotta stop. She can't bark.
Pogey, did you stop the recording?
No.
Oh, well,
that requires me clicking.
I think she's done now.
Hey, we're back.
Take two.
The most professional podcast ever.
It's more fun when it's not professional.
All right. So, anyways, I found this thing on Thirsty News.
Thirsty 4 News,
not just Thirsty.
They got any good picks?
Anyways, apparently The Undertaker...
He's a wrestler.
Okay. Was regarded as a locker room leader during his time with his company. And this is according to... I don't have an author's name here. Oh, Shubham Banerjee. All right, direct quote. He's no longer with that company as an active superstar, but memories of his time on the road will live on forever. Justin Credible. has been working hard to turn his life around for a long time, and it appears that he's progressing well. Recently, the former WWE star recalled how The Undertaker gave him a humorous lesson about how to act right while on the road. Justin Credible competed for the same place that, you know, they were both wrestlers, right?
Yeah.
So... Lex Luger had a same crush on a woman.
Yeah.
And he took her from Luger, I guess. So these guys, The Undertaker and Yokozuna.
Yeah.
They made Credible take shots the next day. And here's the direct quote from Credible, who we may not know.
If he's credible.
Yeah. So he goes, I took a girl that Lex Luger was courting. I kind of snuck in and took her. What the fuck does that mean?
That means...
I don't want to know what that means. Anyways, young baby face at the time...
He didn't sneak in and take, like, take her.
That's what I imagined.
That means he wooed her.
Okay, I hope so.
I'm sure he did. I hope there wasn't... I'm sure he did a wonderful job.
Okay, so anyways...
I'm wooing her.
These guys are sitting at the bar, and they had a huge serving tray of Jack Daniels. There had to be 40 shots there, and he, the Undertaker, made me sit there and drink all of them with him.
Oh, well, they didn't drink 40 shots apiece, then.
No, but that's two people dead. With 40 shots, man.
That's 20 shots each, maybe.
That's a lot of booze.
It is.
So you gotta wonder, how did the Undertaker make him do this, right?
Who knows? Do you know?
No, but that's kind of my point in this podcast.
Well, maybe he had some pull within the company, and he was like, hey, if you want your career to progress any further, you're gonna drink these shots and realize that you can't be stealing other wrestlers' significant others.
Women are not things to be taken.
I know.
Or stolen.
Especially from other men.
So this podcast is not about whether or not you can take a woman.
No, you can't take anybody.
Because you can't.
As a matter of fact, you are 100% correct, and I did not seem to make it sound that way.
Okay, so anyways, this is actually about, it kind of ties in though, because it's about, like, you want to craft your career in line with your personal values.
So you want to steal somebody else's career?
I don't know, like, was the Undertaker and Justin Credible's career in line with their personal values? Maybe or maybe not, right?
Yeah.
So this guy who wrote, who teaches crafting realities in a college in India, Professor Ramya Ranganathan, says that...
Have we heard from him before?
Yes, we have. We've been on a little tear with him, right?
Okay,
Teaching his preaching or preaching his teaching. Or, I don't know, man.
Either one works,
so
I guess.
He talks a lot about how, like, sometimes, you know, we don't actually know what our personal values are. Are your personal values about drinking 40 shots with the Undertaker?
Yeah.
I'd die, right? But it's really, really about what's important to you and how do you determine that, right?
Yeah.
So he says if you imagine yourself on your deathbed or thinking about your vision for the world, like, that's one way of, like, starting to tap into what's important to you. And maybe the vision of the world is 40 shots of Jack Daniels.
For some people, it probably is.
So these frames, like, of how you think, they help cut off the interfering voices in your head that is somebody else telling you how to live your life and how to be.
Oh.
Right? Like,
yeah,
did Justin Credible, I don't know either of these people, obviously, but did Justin Credible go in with Undertaker because, hey, this is how a wrestler's supposed to act? Do you know what I mean? Like, did he let the voice in his head become WWE or the Undertakers or all the people who watch wrestlers and say, yeah... And did he want to do that because he wanted to? Or did he want to do that because society has taught him that's what a WWE wrestler named Justin Credible would do? Or both?
Probably both, because I'm sure he wanted to be a wrestler. But, I mean, Undertaker's probably like, look, dude, you don't just sneak up and try to get a woman to change her mind.
No, that's not the point. The
point
is, you
gotta hit her man over the head with a folding chair.
That's not the point.
Improve your machismo.
You're not listening.
Go ahead.
The point is, like, whether or not drinking those shots was something he truly wanted to do, because he said he made him, right?
Probably until, like, the fifth one. Like, this is like a deathbed decision here. I don't know.
This podcast is about the voices in our head, right? And the voices that tell us what to do and what matters to us and what we think success is, right?
Yeah.
And maybe to him that was that voice. But where did that voice come from for him, right? And where does that voice come from for us? And sometimes those voices have infiltrated our brains so hard that we can't even say, oh, no, that's not my voice. That's Sean Kelly's voice, right? Ray Bradbury has this really good quote, and it says, God, how we put our fingers in each other's clay.
That's like a double entendre.
Everything's a double entendre for Shami.
No, not sexually.
Everything's a triple entendre for Shami.
Well, I do like playing around with your clay, baby.
Oh, dear God. Okay, so anyways, according to the professor, quote, the effect of your choice, the influence of whatever work you choose to do is going to be felt by other people, right? Those could be your close friends. They could be the people in your community. They could be the people who look up to you for inspiration, like maybe Justin Credible did with The Undertaker.
Maybe.
Right? Or it could be people who have invested in you by being teachers and mentors, and they have these expectations, right? And with expectations come projections of who you are and what you should be. Ooh, right?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, right? So... Yeah. And with all that interconnection come thoughts of like, well, what will Shawnee think if I do this? Or what will The Undertaker think if I don't take those shots? Or all that, what will society think, right? Mm-hmm. And so those become kind of like the voices in your head, right? And they become the stakeholders of your success and your career, too. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense, baby.
So he says...
I'm still stuck on something you said back a little bit ago. Oh. No, it was a brilliant thing. But
was it about clay?
Oh, no. It was about... how what you do affects other people, actually. Oh. I don't remember exact quote, but it, I think there's people probably that just can't possibly think that way because they're too self-centered or whatever, but I think it's really powerful.
It is.
You know.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So, all of those projections, all those expectations, all those mentors and teachers and people who you've interacted with become sort of the voices in your head, and they become the stakeholders in your career, he says. Right?
Yeah.
So if you want to get free to make choices that truly align with what the hell you want, if you can figure out what you want, you have to be able to take those voices and be like, that's the Undertaker. That's my 7th grade teacher, Mr. Fakeney. That's Sean. That's my mother telling me no one in our family has an artistic bone in their body. Like, right? And you can... And he says that they do. They masquerade in your head as your own voice, right?
Yes.
So he says, quote, typically these voices tend to be more powerful if they're voices from our past, voices that we have picked up when we were children, and they still continue to have their presence in our own mind. If this sounds intriguing, let me give you an example. Maybe you were in second grade and a teacher looked at your math homework and said, oh my God, you should never go into anything related in numbers. So now that's a voice in your head, right?
I think that happened to me.
Really?
Yeah. No, not really.
Whether you like it or not, he says that voice will continue to play. And in a way, your second grade teacher is still a stakeholder in your grown-up ass life.
That's crazy.
And in your decision-making. He doesn't say grown-up ass.
He doesn't?
No, that's
me. Holy shit.
And even if you decide to do a career with numbers, it might just be because you're trying to prove her wrong.
That's right.
Yeah. I had a very negative experience with my 7th grade, not Mr. Fickney, but one of my 7th grade teachers, and they told me I would never become anything in this world. And so maybe everything I do is trying to prove them wrong.
Probably.
They also said no one would ever take me seriously because my voice is too goofy.
Oh my God, people take you seriously all the time, especially me.
That's a lie.
It's not a lie.
That's a bull-faced lie. All right, so anyways, he has another example, like your dad or your mom has dreams for you that you're going to go and be a lawyer, let's say.
Yeah.
And you do become a lawyer who does human rights work because that was always his dream, to have a son or daughter, or child who does something good for the world.
Well, you should definitely live your own dreams and not other people's.
But I think I have incorporated that too with my uncle, who told me he was throwing down the gauntlet and asked me if I would pick it up on his deathbed.
And what was the gauntlet?
Trying to make the world better.
Oh, well, you do that every day,
no,
baby.
No, I don't. It doesn't count sweeping the floor. Try
to make the world better.
I
not my house.
So, he says, like, you know, what you should do to try to figure out, start working at who the voices are in your head and the stakeholders so that you can glean them and figure out what it is you really want, right? Is to just start really simply with a list. And if you're focusing on your career, start with a list focusing on your career and like look at all the people around you, he says, who you affect and who affect you in terms of your career. And then, you know, you go out a little bit more into your past and think about deeper and deeper about things people said to you that may have impacted the choices that you made today. Like,
it's kind of, it sounds kind of scary.
Why is it scary? Because you're afraid of seeing.
Yeah, maybe.
That you made all the wrong choices because.
Oh, I blame those on myself. I don't blame those on other people, really, but I suppose I could. Maybe make it easier.
Maybe make it easier, man. Like, and his final thing, which is really interesting, too. It's a dog. Is that basically your stakeholder doesn't have to be a person. It can be your college. You went to Harvard and you're expected to have the endowment and you look at the alumni magazine and everybody else 10 years out of Harvard all has investment jobs or they've made a vaccine or something and you're just kind of hanging out at the coffee shop. That Harvard becomes a stakeholder in what you believe success is. Similarly, Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, like when you post something and people are like it or respond to that, right?
Yes.
That those judgments of those people and the ideas of those people responding to you become an influence on how
you're gonna post after that.
Yeah, yeah. Or quote, how good you feel about the work that you are choosing to do.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, so that way.
That's why I never post a naked picture after that one time. There was nothing but negativity there, boy.
You're such a liar.
I know.
You're an adorable honey.
I thought you meant about posting a naked picture.
Oh. Everybody's going to friend you on Facebook now.
Oh, there's no. I don't know. Like any a shiny
naked. A shiny naked.
But nobody wants to see me naked, baby.
See, that's an untrue negative script in your brain, baby.
I know, but I've been told there's that by so many people. There's no way to get rid of.
They're all men.
There was no way to get rid of
them. Who has ever said that? No one's ever said that to you.
Nobody wants to see you naked?
Yeah. No one has ever said that.
I bet somebody has, but I forgot. I blocked it out.
It's probably some douchebag who is jealous of your tall, massive, Thor-like masculinity.
Yeah. That's right.
Get rid of
that. I do swing the hammer, baby.
Oh, no. This didn't feel very helpful.
Huh? Oh, well, sum it up real quick so people can feel helped. Do what you want to do.
Glean the voices so you can do what you want to do.
Yeah. Dog tip for life. Just the tip, baby.
Just the tip.
That's how it always starts.
Oh, God, this is explicit for sure now.
No, you can't make this explicit.
I have to. I said the F word.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
It wasn't even me. Sparty says...
Sparty, our dog.
Sparty, our dog, who gives us the best advice ever, says, glean those voices. Choose the voices you want to listen to.
Yeah, man. If the voice says lay all day on the couch...
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, Sparty's not the good dog in the manner of he doesn't listen to our voices. All right, baby, give us a shout out.
Hey, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Who's that artist and what's that song?
I don't know, man.
You do, you know.
I do. We've been saying it. It's Summer Spleef by Broke for Free.
And we have extra content all about living happy on the livinghappy.substack.com blog, and it's pretty awesome. And we also have a writing tips podcast called Write Better Now.
They're both awesome.
But our brand new...
amazing, creepy podcast is Dude, No! It's like that. You gotta say it like that.
He does say it like that. It's true crime with an occasional foray into the paranormal and the macabre, and it's awesome. And finally, we have a podcast.
Loving the Strange.
Which we stream live.
On Carrie's Facebook and Twitter and YouTube on Fridays, but every other Friday.
Every other Friday now, because we're lazy.
So be sure to check her Facebook and Twitter for the dates when we are going to be podcasting live and making fools of ourselves.
Live.
We're going to do a Hot Wings challenge real soon.
Oh, dear God.
And that's always a good one.
Anyways, all my Twitter handles and Facebook handles and blah, blah, blah. It's either Carrie Jones Books or Carrie Jones Book. Carrie with a C-A-R-R-I-E. The end. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.
And be kind. Be kind to us old people.
Oh, yeah, we can't take much more.